Nachyomi for the Orthodox Union, Sefer Tehillim, the Book of Psalms. Perek Huf Tesvav, chapter 115. This is Rabbi Binny Marilis. We've been discussing in the last couple of days the chapters that deal with Hallel. Here we get to one of the sections that we say in Hallel where we skip. We know that on certain days of the year, Rosh Chodesh, last 6 days of Pesach, we have essentially what you would call a Hallel Chaser, or a Chatzi Hallel, where you say only half the Hallel, and you skip certain sections. One of the sections that you skip is the first 11 verses of this chapter. Interestingly enough, I mentioned the other day that in studying Tefillah, in studying the davening with people, we lose sight often of where the Prakim actually are, where they begin, where they end. And this is one of those. By virtue of the fact that we see it most regularly in the Siddur, and we see these sort of sectioned off from Lo Lanu until Ezra Maginam Hu, at the end of verse 11, as its own independent paragraph, we unfortunately or inadvertently assume that it's its own chapter, when in fact it's part of a larger construct and a larger text, which makes up Kuf Tesvav, chapter 115. I want to share with you at the outset a very beautiful a vision of what's going on. Before we do that, let's make sure we get the structural breakup of the text and understand exactly where it breaks off and why it breaks off where it does. The way our verses break down is to say that verses 1 through 11, which is the text that's omitted on those days and on holidays, Lo Lanu, that is section 1. And so I'm going to break it into two parts. Section 1 would be Aleph through Aleph, 1 through 11. Section 2 would be Yud Beis through the end. So verse 12 to the end, ending with Vanach and the Verechka, that would be the second half. And how would you see that? So from a structural standpoint, it's very interesting to bear, and it's brought down quite beautifully, as I mentioned previously, Rabbi Et Shalom's articles. So he sort of structures very nicely in his article, so you can see it, that you almost have a general header statement, a set of words that sort of start off a section, and then you have verses that break into two. So if you look at the first verse, and then you look at verse 12, you see that they're structurally very similar in that they have three parts, and that the first part really serves as a general header, as an introductory header to the rest of the verse, and that the remaining verses break into parts, into twos, that you'll have In verse two, Lama Yomer Hagoyim, pause. Ayena Elohim, pause. Verse 3, Velohinu Bashamayim, pause. Kol Shechavetz Asa, pause. And that they each sort of fall into different categories. You can almost sort of line them up. You have Lo Lanu, Hashem Lo Lanu at the top. And then on the right side, you'll have Kila Shimcha Tein Kavod. And the left side, Al Chas Techal Mitecha. And then, boom, all the way down through verse 11, you would have that split. Then verse 12, you see, Hashem Zecharonu Yivarech, again, a triparted verse. You have Hashem Zecharonu Yivarech as the header, and then Yivarech as Beis Yisrael, Yivarech as Beis Aharon, and that sort of sets up that structure. So we'll put the line, if you will, in the Mizmor halfway through. And to understand that our Mizmor is incredibly beautiful, I'll share with you a very dramatic understanding of what's going on. Remember that Hallel on the holidays was said in a certain way, in a certain manner. And in the Mikdash, you had Shira, right? We always have the Levim, the Kohanim playing instruments and singing Shevach to Hashem. Can you imagine the structure of what perhaps this might look like? And this comes to us in the Nesiv Bina, who we've mentioned previously. The Nesiv Bina is a set of volumes by Rabbi Yaakovson, Jacobson, on the entire davening and on all the tefillos that we say in the course of the year, in the course of the day. And in volume 3, there's a section on Hallel. It allows us to really understand at great depth some of the beauty of the commentaries on this text, but he also gives a very dramatic vision of what's going on here. So if you can imagine for a moment that you have on different sides of the Azara and different sides of the courtyard at the Mikdash, you have different groups of singers, and that as a response to a statement by one, another group sings. So, for example, if you take the verses 9, 10, and 11, So you could see, by virtue of the fact that they are literally paralleled up in terms of text, you have Yisrael B'tach B'Hashem, and then Ezra Magin Emuhu, then you have Beis Aharon B'tchu B'Hashem, Ezra Magin Emuhu, and then Yirei Hashem B'tchu B'Hashem, Ezra Magin Emuhu. They break off very easily. And what you can have, and you can see, if you can close your eyes and envision it for a moment, you have one group standing and screaming out, Yisrael B'tach B'Hashem, and then another group answering, Ezra Magin Emuhu, and then Beis Aharon B'tchu B'Hashem, and then again a response, Ezra Magin Emuhu. It's a beautifully dramatic and powerfully overwhelming experience, such that in his introduction to the chapter, the Nesiv Bina writes, and he breaks him down that way. He says he wants to break down the chapter really into six parts. Verses 1 and 2 is one part, and there you have the first sort of choir that says, Lo lanu Hashem lo lanu, through Ayena Eloheyem. And then the second one is the statement by a second group that deals with all of the issues in the Avodah Zarah. That's 3 through 8. And then you have different groups that are now were called on to respond. You have the Yisrael, and you have the Beis Aharon, and you have Yirei Hashem. And then the fourth part is verses 12 and 13. That's another set. That's in the sense of the bracha. Perhaps it's the Kohen who's offering a bracha, right? We have Yirecha Hashem Yishmerecha, the language of the bracha of a Kohen. Similarly, you have the bracha here. And then the fifth section is verses 14 and 15, where you have, let's say it's Kohanim and Levim, who are offering blessings on the entirety of the population that's gathered. Bruchim Atem, you are all blessed. And then you have the last section, 16, 17, 18, right? The idea of where Hashem is, where Hashem's domain is, where our relationship is to Hashem, how we impart on that the Mesim, to the depths of the world, they can't do it, but va'anachnu, right? This is a climactic ending. Va'anachnu, but us, we together, everybody, nivarech ka, for all time. It's an incredibly powerful, dramatic scene that's going on in our text. And so what you have is part one is sort of this attack on Avodah Zarah, right, against idol worship and idolatry. And then section two is really about bracha and praise. So let's understand a little bit what's going on. We begin in trying to understand what verse one is talking about. Lo lanu Hashem, lo lanu, right? Don't do it for us. Lo lanu Adonai, lo lanu. Don't do it for us. Kilishimcha ten kavod. For your name you should give glory. Achastecha lamitecha. For your mercy and for your truth. What are we saying? What is that? Whoever is the speaker, what are they trying to impart? What are they trying to say? Lama yomer hagoyim ayinah Eloheihem. Why should we allow the goyim to say, where is their God? What is that going on? How is that to be understood? What exactly is that you have in the text? And perhaps what you can offer is the sense that you have this question. And this question, Rabbi Yechalom brings this down, and others perhaps might want to cite this idea as well, that perhaps what you have is a relationship back to another time in the immediate aftermath of the Chet HaEgel. I'll share with you from Sefer Shemos. Rabbi Yechalom brings down the entire piece. Moshe is beseeching Hashem to forgive the Jewish people in Chet HaEgel. So he turns to Hashem and he says, Lama Adonai yechere apecha b'yamecha? Why Hashem should your anger flare up against your people, right? Asher hotzeitzah mi'eretz Mitzrayim, that you took out of Mitzrayim, b'koach gadol b'yad chazaka, with great strength. And then listen to the next one. Lama yomru Mitzrayim le'mor? Why allow the Mitzrayim to say, b'ra'a hotzi'am l'harog osam b'harim? That he took them out with an evil intent. He took them out. Yeah, he was stronger than the Mitzrim, but to destroy them on the mountains, to rid the world of them. Shuv mecharon apech v'nachem al hara'ah le'amecha. Relent from your flaring anger and reconsider regarding the evil against your people. Don't do it. The language is lama yomru Mitzrayim. Here it's lama yomru ha'goyim. What are we concerned about? We're concerned about al chastecha v'al amisecha, about your righteousness and your mercy, about shimcha, about your name and about who you are, Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we're concerned about. That's our fear. Rabbi Yechon takes it even perhaps one step further. And this is very interesting. Perhaps one could say that verses 2 and 3 together form a quote. Lama yomru hagoyim? Why allow the nations to say, Ayeina Eloheim, where is their God? Eloheinu ve'eloheinu bashamayim, our God is in heaven. Kol asher chafetz asa, our gods do what they want. That's an interesting approach, because it does fit in very nicely with the entire idea that the whole text is about idol worship. And if verse 3 is about Hashem Elokeinu, our God, the God of the Jews, it's very difficult to understand. But if you understand that it's to the fulfillment of the quote, is there saying, where's their God? Our God? Our God's in heaven. Our God's the power in the world. Your God? Where's your God? Our God does whatever he wants. And then you have this litany of text about Avodah Zarah. Yeah, your God? Your God's the one in heaven? That's the one, right? That's the one who you think? Let me tell you about your God. Let me tell you about your gods. Let me tell you about what they are and what they are not. The list of descriptions in verses 4 through 7, and then the hope for those in verse 8, the 4 through 7 is all of these different ideas about these gods, or what they can or what they cannot do, how they're created, and how they cannot actually do anything, is sort of the retort, the response to Avodah Zarah. You think your gods are great, your idols are wonderful, yada, yada, yada. Let me tell you about all that are yours. They can't speak, they can't see, they can't hear, they can't smell, they can't touch, they can't walk, they can't speak. All those descriptions are ascribed in other places in the Torah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem speaks and Hashem hears and Hashem sees and Hashem smells and Hashem feels and Hashem walks. They are not literal, but the understanding about them is, you think all these things about your gods. None of them, in fact, are true. Your gods exist in the physical world. They're made out of gold and they're made out of silver and they're made out of stone. But your gods actually don't do anything. Our God is not viewed in the physical, is not seen in the physical world, yet accomplishes all of these things, can do all of these things, is involved in so many ways in our lives. You fashion it with your own hands. It's Ma'isei Yadeichem. It's your hands. We don't do that. That's not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not Ma'isei Yadai. And then in verse 8 is this sort of beseeching of God about these people. Kimohem, like them, Yuhu Oseihem, all that make them, who fashion them, and Kol HaShaboteach Behem, all those who trust in them and have faith in them. That's sort of the punishment request of these. So let's go through what we have here. So, you can take verse 3 one way or the other. Either way, it fits very nicely and makes a lot of sense. Most of the commentaries view verse 3, Ve'eloheinu b'shamayim, is our response to them. They'll say, where's God? And we'll say, our God. Our God's in heaven. He does whatever he wants. And then list off, Atzabeim kesef b'zahav ma'aseh yadam. Okay, so let's go through them. And let's get some beautiful ha'aros, of course, from our different commentaries, as always. I just want to share with you a beautiful Rav Hirsch on verse 2. Verse 1 is Lolanu. It's a statement to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look, this isn't about us. This is not about who we are. This isn't about us as people. It's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about you. It's about your shame. It's about your place in the world. The ascribing to you all the power and in the world. And in verse 2, where we have this idea, Lama Yomru Hagoyim Ayeina Eloheihem. And then the answer is Veloheinu Shabashamayim Kol Shechavetz Asa. Right? Sorry. So the Radak. Let's do the Radak, and then we'll do a Hirsch. The Radak says like this: L'shim chatein kavod. The verse 2 and verses 3 is about L'shim chatein kavod. She'im lo tase imanu chesed. If you don't do for us chesed, v'tidshenu biyat zonecha, and you allow us to fall in the hands of our enemies, yomru, they'll say, Eina Eloheihem. Where's their God? Let him come and help them. V'loheinu. Right. Our God. V'heim sichli v'lo yakiru ma bein Eloheinu l'Elohem. They won't see the difference between our God and their God. Our God is in heaven, and he reigns and has dominion over what's in the heavens and what's not in the heavens. And anything he wants to do, he does. And he doesn't want to do, he doesn't do. V'lo kein Eloheihem. They're God nothing. If you don't show this, Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you don't allow this to be in the world, so then the other nations of the world won't be able to distinguish and understand what you are, what your role is. Hirsch takes it a little bit further. Elohei ha'amim, he says, near in la'ayin basa. The gods of the other nations are visible to the eye. Ach ein ro'im nespulo seyem. But you don't see their actions. Sort of what we said before. Elohei Yisrael einu nir la'ayin. But the God of the Jews is not seen to the physical eye. Ach espulasav ro'im. But his actions you do see. Oso samyus min ha'ayin shelohav asher ima nichnas Yisrael b'chuk ha'amim hitmiya es ha'elilim. The nature of the relationship of God with us in the world, and how he interacts and deals with us, and how he puts us into the other, the grouping of the other nations, surprised, created wonder in the eyes of the of those who are believers in idols. Zehu hamechazek es tzipias Yisrael legiloi memshelas Hashem bepulaso leman amo. And that is the desire to seeing God's actions in the world. Shatira le'enei ha'amim ayidei chesed ve'emes, that they would be able to see chesed and emes in their world, and know that, that that's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Halalu, kishe'enam ro'im pu'lazo, marion nishol. Hello, they will ask, if they don't see them, they're going to ask, ayei eifo Elohei Yisrael. Ve'loheinu achin hu ro'e ve'enu nire b'shmei mirumim, akolat shechafet asad. And we will say, our God, he sees, but he's not seen. But whatever he wants to do, he does. Ma'asav ha'me'idim al-ritzonu gurasso heima'idei mitziyoso memshal ta. The actions of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the world are the testimony to his presence in the world, even though he's not seen. So we have that it's like this. Atzabeim kesev v'zahav. Their idols are made out of silver and gold. Masa yadei adam, they're made by the hand. They're made of human. Pelahem lo yadaberu, so they have a mouth, they don't speak. Einam lahem lo yiru, they have eyes, they don't see. Oznaim lahem lo yishma'u, they have ears, they don't hear. Af lahem lo yirichun, they have a nose and they cannot smell. Yidehem lo yimishun, they have hands and they can't touch. Raglehem lo yalechu, they have feet and they cannot walk. Lo yibigronam, they cannot speak. They don't even have voice in their throats, literally. Kimuhem yosehem, like them should be all those who do them, who make them. It's a subtle shot at the fashioners of idols. Kol asher boteach bohem, and all those who believe in them, who trust in them. The boteach is a key word because the next three verses are going to have that in it as well. Keep in mind that the notion of idol worship in the world, the way the Rambam describes it in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the first chapter of Hilchos Avodah Zarah is a history of idol worship in the world, is the sense that it evolved. The people began to believe, began to offer sacrifices and praises to the heavenly bodies, and then it progressed and evolved and continued to move into the language where they began to fashion their own idols and to fashion the image of what they said was God. So this is an attack on that. Now in verse 9, 10, 11, it's a cry to Yisrael about how they should believe and stay focused on God. Yisrael in verse 9, Yisrael betach ba'adonai Ezram maginam hu. And in verse 10, Beis Aharon, the house of Aharon, bitchu ba'adonai Ezram maginam hu, should have trust in God because he is their help and their shield. Yirei Hashem, Yirei Adonai, Bitchu Adonai, those who fear Hashem, who have a sense of awe about Hashem, should also trust in Hashem, Ezram Maginim Hu, that he is their help and he is their shield. Who are some of these characters? Who are some of these groups? Who is Yirei Hashem? So Rashi says Yirei Hashem, amazingly, is Hagerim. The Gerim. The Radak says, no, Him Chachamim. They're the Chachamim. They're separate from everybody else. They're not Yisrael. They're not Beis Aaron. They're Chachamim. Shehim is bodedim beBeis Hashem lumod misaskim chachmas adas Hashem. They are the ones who separate themselves into the house of Hashem to study, to be involved in the wisdom of Hashem, to know Hashem. Ki him yodim michachmasam. They know from their wisdom. Ki ein zul asos sharoi levtoach bo. There's no one else to trust in. there's no one else to trust him. There are a variety of understandings as to who these two groupings are. Yisrael, Beis Aharon, Yireh. All these different varieties as to who they may be. Again, you'll see them coming up in the next set. Ezra Maginam Hu, what does that mean? Says the Malbim, Maginam is Lahatzilam Mitzara, right? Hashem is the Magain. He is their shield to rescue them from suffering and from dangerous situations. Ve'ezram, he is their help, Lahachnia Esatzar, to put down the enemy. Don't have faith in the others. Don't believe in the others. Beseeching the different groups of the Jews, the general Yisrael, then the house of Aaron, the Kohanim, and then Yirei Hashem. Picking up in the second half then, where we sort of leave off, moving into the idea that it's not just about the idol worship, but rather there's more to it, but there's a notion of prayer. There's a notion of blessing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. We get the idea of Hashem Zichrono Yivorech. And now you have the beginning of part two. Again, we have the triparted first verse. Now we're going to talk about blessing. But before we were talking about the Kavod Hashem, the Shem Hashem, and the idea of that versus idolatry, the reputation of God in the world. So now we're going to get to part two, which is not just the almost what you would call the Sumera, the removal of the evil, but rather the Asei Tov. The Asei Tov is the blessing and the praise and the Shevach to Hashem at every stage and every point from different locales and to the great depth. Crucially also important here is you have the introduction of Kitanim. One could have assumed that in talking about the entirety of the nation, it would include the children. But here you have something additional, is the sense of Kitanim. You have the Kitanim included in the bracha, that it's not just the elder generation, the generation that understands, but it's also everybody. It's everyone that should be included. The idea we've talked before about day and night, east and west, that it sort of covers the full expanse of the boundaries of what we're talking about. So here you have young and old. So young and old sort of serves the same idea of that as well. So let's see. Hashem Yivarech, Zecharani Yivarech. We have to be mindful, right? Hashem Zecharani Yivarech. You should remember us. You should be blessed. He will be blessed. Yivarech has Beis Israel, he should bless the house of Israel. Yivarech has Beis Aaron, he should bless the house of Aaron. Yivarech Yirei Adonai, he should bless those who fear Hashem. Haktanim im Hagidolim, the youth, the young, and the old, the small and the great. Those who earlier were exhorted and beseeched to put the betach Hashem are now here put into the idea that they're going to receive God's blessing from Hashem. Whereas before they were required to have faith, now they're getting it back. I'll share with you a very interesting idea in terms of the Ketanim and what they're doing here. The Nesif Bina quotes from a certain text in understanding this Mizmor that is most interesting. I don't know the name of the work. To me, it appears that there's someone by the name of Reb Gaitin. I'm not sure who that is. And he says something very important about the children. B'yichud bolten kan ha'yiladim. Here, it stands out, it sticks out, the children. Aleinu l'sa'ir lanu. It's important for us to describe and have a description of for us in our minds. Shehanilvim el Hashem, those who come to Hashem, kfisha nikro misyahadim, those who convert, who are joining into the fray. He wants to say Yirei Hashem, like Rashi, it said Yirei Hashem was the gerim. So they don't come alone. Hevil imaim es b'neim, they bring with them their children. So why? Lema'an yilmedu lira es Hashem, that they should also have a fear of Hashem and have an awe sense of God. Yivarech Yirei Hashem haketanim ha'gedolim, the children and the adults, not just those who are already in, but those who are coming in. Yosef Hashem aleichem abaneichem, that Hashem should increase, enhance the blessing on you and on your children. Kolomar, he says, Yisrabu na'ele ha'boim lachasos tachas kanfei hashchina heim viladeyem. It should be inclusive of not just those who are already in, but those who might come in at some point later on. So as we had the people who were being beseeched to have faith in God, and to trust in God, to not trust in other idols, and to not trust into other gods, that they're going to get blessed, and they're going to have Hashem's blessing on them, and an increase of that blessing, a Yosef Hashem. Not an accident that it's a term of a Yosef. Yosef is literally an enhancement. But the idea of the name of Yosef is an enhancement of blessing. Yosef is given a great blessing in the Torah. Yosef is essentially a source of bracha for the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, when perhaps there was a chance of losing faith and not having the ability to succeed and to have. Yosef provides them with that here. Yosef Haleichem. This is a bracha, an additional, an enhanced bracha that's brought to bear for them. Bruchim atem la'Adonai Yosef Shamayim va'aretz. Blessed be you, right? Blessed are you to Hashem, the one who is the creator of heavens and earth. So here you have Shemayin and Aretz. Earlier on, you have Hashem and Shemayim. Hashemayim, Shemayim, Adonai, Va'aretz, Nasan, Livnei Adam. The heavens are for Hashem, and the earth is given to man. Famously, the Gemara Maseches Brachos teaches us from here the idea of giving of us saying bracha. Gemara says there, Amr Shmuel, Kol Nami Na'olam Hazeh B'lo Bracha, Kilu Nanami Kadshei Shemayim. Anyone who gets pleasure from this world without a bracha, it's as if they got pleasure from holy from that which is holy in heaven. Rashi explains, Kenanami Na'hekdesh, that you got pleasure from that which is holy, what we call Me'ila, stealing from that which is holy. The pasuk says, L'Hashem Ha'aretz U'mu'ah, because it belongs to Hashem. Rabbi Levi asked the question. He says, "Astira to Psukim, Ksiv, Lashem Ha'aretz Imlua, that it's for Hashem, the land is for Hashem, Ksiv." Also, it also says in Tehillim, Hashemayim Shamayim Lashem, Ha'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam. The heavens is for Hashem, and the land is given to people. Lo Kasha, not an issue. Kan Kodim Abracha, Kan Liacha Abracha. Before one makes a bracha, before one offers blessing, it all belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once a person offers blessing, once a person offers acknowledgement in the sense of blessing about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then and only then can it be ascribed to us, can it belong to us. Lo HaMeisim Yehalleluya Lo Koyed Yiduma. You can ascribe this idea that those who are dead can no longer offer the praises up to Hashem. And all those who go to silence, they can't offer the praises to Hashem. Perhaps it's the idea that it belongs to the death culture, the culture of the dead, which was regular in Egypt. But at the same time, that which is dead cannot offer blessing. That which is no longer alive cannot offer blessing. But nothing that we have to be concerned about, because anachnu neverecha. We will always be able to offer blessing. That at all times, in all places, we'll be able to offer blessings, even if we're not around, by virtue of the fact that it's v'anachnu, but we, the fullness of us, the completion, the full nature of our nation, whether it's Yerei Hashem, Beis Aaron, Yisrael, we will be able to offer praise and offer that which we want. So you have the bracha in the beginning of the section, 12 through 16, and then the response. The idea of our understanding as to how it's going to work, okay, they will not be able, but we as a grouping will be able to do it. And what you have here is the idea in chapter 15, is that whereas an earlier chapter, Kuf Yud Gimel, was about a universal sense, Halu Avdei Hashem, Yishem Hashem Mevorach Meyatavi Ad Olam, here it's personal. For us, for tonight, for who we are, for today, and not for the other worlds, not for the other nations of the world. It's about us, about Bnei Yisrael, about Yirei Hashem, about Beis Aharon. It's dramatic, it's big, it's large, it's monumental, it's for all time, and at the same time, it's uniquely for us. It's a unique praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about his relationship with us, about our wants and our desires for Shem Hashem, and our wants and our desires for the Jewish people, and those who belong to the Jewish people, and those who are coming to connect to the Jewish people, and what blessings they should have by virtue of trusting in the Kaddish. We continue tomorrow with Kuf Tes Zayin 116.